When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, what's up? This is Sully from Godsmack. Strap on those boots, baby, because you are now in the trenches of the war room with the one and only Mistress Carrie right here on the Mistress Carrie podcast.
What's up? This is Joe Rogan, and you're listening to Mistress Carrie.
Her hair is so lovely. With the eyes.
Hey, this is Brent from Shinedown, and you're listening to Mistress Carrie. Hey, Carrie, go put your bra on, girl.
Hey, this is Steven Tyler, and you'll be listening to the baddest bitch in Boston, Mistress Carrie.
What's up? This is Aaron from Stain, and you're listening to Mistress Carrie.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters, and you're listening to the one, the only, Mistress Carrie.
Hey, this is David from the band Disturbed, and you're listening to the baddest bitch in Boston, Mistress Carrie.
Hi, Bruce Dickinson here from Iron Maiden. Yes, indeed, Miss Whiplash herself, Mrs. Carrie, is here to unchain your brain.
Hi, this is Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You're listening to Mistress Carrie.
This is Dennis Leary. You are listening to my favorite, Mistress Carrie.
Hey, this is Corey from Stone Sour, and you're listening to, you have the privilege of listening to Mistress Carrie.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, reporting for duty from MCHQ for a bonus episode of the Mistress Carrie podcast. And before we get to my guest, Nikki Six, I want to let you know there is all kinds of new merch that you can find in the online shop at MistressCarrie.com. Pullover hoodies, 70s-inspired three-quarter sleeve jerseys, roll-up blankets, baby onesies, and so much more. And don't forget to check out this week's full-length episode of the podcast, episode 203, featuring Lee Cacati from Pop Evil. Nikki Sixx and the guys from Motley Crue have released a new song today called Dogs of War, working once again with super producer Bob Rock, who produced Dr. Feelgood 35 years ago. The new song is available everywhere, and you can check out the new CGI video for the song on their official YouTube. This is the first new music with new guitarist John Five, and the band will have plenty of opportunities to play this new music live, hitting some of the biggest festivals in North America. We talked about everything from songwriting to Spinal Tap, so allow me to introduce you to Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue. I know that guy, Nikki Sixx!
How you doing? I'm still here.
How are you?
I'm alive.
Yeah? Well, that's good.
That's good. You know, I don't know.
I mean, if you're going to release a new song, it's good to be alive when you're doing it.
If I was dead and we released a new song, I would sell twice as many. That's what my bandmates would say.
Congratulations on Dogs of War. I got a little early hear of it. What a monster riff in this song. Oh, my God.
Thank you. A lot of fun for us. we were like in the studio. Well, I guess kind of the way that this whole thing came together was we were in South America. I think it was South America. And we had a day off. And us and Def Leppard were touring together. I looked down and everybody was outside at the pool and hanging out. So I went down to hang out with them, and I was reading on my phone. I read this article on cancel culture. Part of my process is I have a reaction to art, literature, movies, things I see. And whether it's Shout at the Devil, which I, you know, was a reaction to something, or this article on cancel culture. So I wrote about it, but I wrote it in a Shout at the Devil type rhythm. And I showed Tommy, and he's like, we got to put some music to this. And so we had gone back to LA. We decided to go to Barry Pointer's house, great engineer, producer. He's worked with a lot of really great people. And we just went into kind of demo up this song, Canceled. And as we were in there, we started messing with different riffs. And I went home at the end of the day and thought, well, I got to bring something back to go with this riff to show the guys. And I was watching A Handmaid's Tale, and there's the Latin phrase, don't let the bastards grind you down. And I stopped it immediately. And my wife knows what that process is about. She's like, okay, it's going to take a second. Pause it. I go into my notes, write the whole thing in one swoop, finish the show, go to bed, go to the studio. And I go, hey guys, check this out. And it was like, it fit melodically, it fit lyrically. And that's kind of where the idea came about. Actually, the chorus, it says, down, down, don't let the bastards get you down. But Dogs of War is the opening line in the song. So it's one of, we couldn't really have a song called Bastards because we have a song on Shout at the Devil called Bastard.
Yeah, well, I think you did fine naming it. Although I feel like that's a pressure, like naming a kid, naming an album, naming a song, because once you name it, you're stuck with it for life.
You're stuck with it for life. No one wants their kid to be named Apple.
We've been joking on the show a lot that so many musicians put song ideas in their phones, and how many amazing ideas are in there. And then heaven forbid you lose your phone, what gets lost?
That's the iCloud backup right there. That's what that's all about. But I have a 4.5-year-old that basically is the boss of me. And I got her a little iPad mini to, you know, for when we're out to dinner, and keeps her busy and stuff. And but I had to sign up to my account. So the other day I looked down, and I'm the kind of writer that I'm always writing, but I don't even remember what I'm writing. It's like a stream of consciousness thing. And I've done it for years. And sometimes I find stuff and it turns into something cool. And sometimes it's just rubbish, but I'm always doing that. And she got into my notes and she had them open and was with her. And I went, okay, that's it. I got to have my own like separation there. So yeah, my 4.5-year-old almost like tweeted like lyrics from a song that's going to come out in 10 years.
You can't let the kids have access to the cloud. Have we not learned this lesson by now? No cloud for the kids.
My God, no cloud for the kids.
You brought up that tour with Def Leppard. You got to play the chapel in Boston that is Fenway Park. I got to ask you what that was like for you.
Just, it was such a great tour. They're we've been friends with them for a long time, but to get to know them on a, you know, it was a co-headline tour. So we honestly had to talk about a lot of stuff that could cause a problem. We've done other co-headlines with other bands, and sometimes some bands are just not as easy to work with. A lot of ego involved and stuff. And us and Def Leppard, we were like, how can we support each other and share the lights, share the lasers, do the best for the fans? And we got out there and we took Poison and Joan Jett down on the support slot. That felt like a good night for everybody. It was really a blast.
I couldn't believe growing up around Boston that they were letting Motley Crue into Fenway Park. I still couldn't believe that.
Yeah, it was... It is one of those pinch me moments, to be honest with you. A lot of those stadiums that we were out doing were real pinch me moments. And for a band like us, you know, Dogs of War kind of represents our heart and soul as who as we are as a band. And we've been, when you see the video, you realize people have been trying to kill us since 1981. And we just keep coming back to life. And that's, we find humor in that. You know, we really find humor in that. We're out playing stadiums when the year before people are like, these guys are over. The year before that, these guys are over. The year before that, these guys are over. We've been over since 1981. And it's kind of fun for us because we don't put any weight on it. We don't take it personally. You know, we never really cared if we were or were not a critic's favorite, you know. And because of that, we feel pretty free and we have a really good time being in a band. But it's not like a lot of pressure to be in a band when you don't have a lot of expectations from outside sources.
Well, it's been 43 years. You don't have a lot to prove anymore.
Right. Yeah. And maybe we did in the beginning, but I think that was about, we just wanted to be ourselves, you know, coming out of punk and coming out of Hollywood, you know, me specifically and the guys growing up late 70s and playing in bands in the late 70s in Hollywood, and finding these guys that were like-minded, the same kind of spirit, had the same fighting spirit, the same kind of, we were all underdogs. We used to laugh. No one in the band ever graduated high school. Like, it just wasn't for us. We were the opposite of Queen, where they all had bachelor's degrees and all that stuff. And it just has always felt like, this is my gang. You know, those are my boys. This is my gang. We have each other's back.
I had to dig through my extensive archive of concert shirts, and I dug this one out. OG 89 wow. Dr. Feelgood shirt because of the 35th anniversary of the album this year.
That's right. Can you believe that?
No.
35 years. And we were just in the studio with Bob Rock, who produced Dr. Feelgood. And it was the same beautiful energy and the same openness on the band to let Bob get in there and push us. You know, whether it's been the Cult or Metallica or Motley Crue, he helps us raise our standard. And that's what you want to, you know, you want to write music and lyrics and melodies and have a great band. But like, we can only take it so far sometimes. You know, it takes that extra effort, that extra push to maybe push us in a direction that we didn't think about. And that makes it better for the fans.
It's been 43 years. And if I'm saving concert shirts from 1989, you have got to have a personal archive. And I know you shared a lot of that in the Crucium.
Yeah.
But personally, what do you have that like means everything out of all the memorabilia and stuff in your collection?
I mean, I think the number one thing that I would say would be, I have that Shout at the Devil gauntlet with the pentagram on it. It's really old and decrepit. And it's like, literally, you can see it at the Crucium. You can see it on the website. It's fine. There's only one in the world. And, you know, I keep it in a safe because it's something that, you know, I know that when I die, my wife's going to want to sell and buy herself a Ferrari.
Why don't you just cut out the middleman and get her the Ferrari now so she doesn't sell all the gear?
That's a good idea. And I'll send you the gauntlet.
Yeah, dude, I will protect the gauntlet. Don't you worry.
But you have to wear the gauntlet.
If that's what you want, I'll wear it. Whatever. I don't care.
It's a little smelly.
I'm sure it is. I think everything with Motley Crue is a little smelly by now.
No, that's so hurtful.
No, I mean it with love. Like, Motley Crue is that band that just has always been on the dirtier side of everything. It's a badge of honor.
My wife says I'm musky. I don't know what that means, but I don't know.
She must like the musk, though. She married you.
She must. Well, you know, she can't divorce me because I said I'd kill her. So she's stuck.
Hey, I got to ask you this because it has been 43 years and they're filming the new Spinal Tap. The movie proves itself to be the perfect representation of rock and roll ever. What is your personal Spinal Tap moment in 43 years of Motley Crue? Like, on stage, everything goes wrong.
We were sitting in rehearsal yesterday and we were just, you know, talking about the old days. And we talked about, we were telling John Five this, that we got stranded in Denver. We were on the Shout at the Devil tour at a hotel. It snowed in. The show was postponed or whatever it was. We were in this hotel for a week. And we drank all the alcohol. We did. There was a place called Shotguns Willie's there, which was a gentleman's club. So it was basically Shotgun Willie's was now at the hotel. And we were just having what we should be doing in 1983. When the snow kind of cleared and we could get our gear over the mountain and get it into the gig, it was like people were so stoked and excited to see the band there. You know, we're starting to blow up at that point, right? And we're playing places that are smaller than the size of the band because the band's getting bigger than the venues as we go. Like, we hadn't got into big theaters yet or an arena, so we're playing in this small place. We're down in the basement getting dressed and they're like, okay, showtime. They start running the intro tape. which the intro tape was the cassette to Shout at the Devil. So it was the In the Beginning intro. And the sound man, we would come on stage and he would stop the cassette before the song Shout at the Devil, right? We're coming up. Tommy and Mick come up on stage and me and Vince come around the other side. The door's locked. Our door is locked. And we're hearing In the Beginning, you know. And so we somehow we get on stage too late and they start playing the Shout at the Devil cassette, which then I put on the bass and then we try to cut and it was full Spinal Tap. And you know what? There was no cell phones. There was no video cameras. If you were there and we stopped and we laughed and everybody had a good time and then we ripped into the show. So that's our Spinal Tap moment.
You mentioned John 5. Is he raising your wardrobe game now? Because he infuses a whole new pressure in Motley Crue.
John's a great guy. I've known John for a long time. I brought John in on a Meat Loaf song that I wrote, the Monsters Loose, and then some 6 a.m. songs. He wrote a song with me called Lives of Beautiful People, which was a big hit for 6 a.m., and brought him in to do a project that I did for Netflix called LA Rats with Rob Zombie and Tommy Clotetos on drums, a Johnny Cash cover. And I wrote the Dirt songs with him and he played a lot of the guitar on those tracks. And so when this moment that we weren't expecting happened, Mick's leaving the band, we're in the middle of stadium tour. We're in the middle of a huge tour with us and Def Leppard, a world tour, not just a couple gigs. And we had to ask ourselves, like, do we fold? Do we leave Live Nation in the lurch? Do we bone our partners in Def Leppard? And we had to dig deep and we're like, we got to do what's right for the fans. And John was the guy. Like, we didn't even talk about anybody else. We knew John. I knew John. I knew what he was, the guitar. We knew what he was, the guitar player. We knew he was a writer. And it just was like taking a situation we didn't expect and turning it into something. And now we have, like, you know, new music and we're having a great time. And the thing with creativity is, you know, it's a circle, right? And if there's a break in it, you can't really get all the energy going. And we had to... This new moment has reinvigorated the creativity in the band. And John, I will attribute that to John, and also just change in general sometimes happens. I played with a lot of different musicians over the years, and every time I play with a new musician, I have a new interpretation of something, and they bring that. So there's a freshness to having John in the band right now.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month. So just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
Do you have to have a mafia-style sit-down with Rob Zombie when you're trying to get John 5 and Motley Crue?
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things that I feel bad about. It wasn't my decision. It was John's decision. I had been talking to John as a friend during some of the frustrations with Mick's playing, specifically on the tour. And he was my friend, you know, and I was like, you know, when I called him and said, wow, we're faced with a really bad situation. And we talked, and it was like, he wanted to do the next level thing in his life. He'd been with Rob for a long, long time, and they were kind of coming to an end of a tour. And he talked to Rob, and Rob was not happy, but understood. I still feel bad about that. You know, it's just, that was never my intention to go out and steal somebody from another band. That's not what we did. But I have so much respect for Rob. And yeah, it's one of those things where I'm really happy. And at the same time, I'm like, you know, sometimes this stuff's fucking hard, you know, like making a decision to move on without an original member. And how does that, it's not exactly as seamless as people would like it to seem. You know, it's some little bumps along the way, little bumps in the road.
Well, there's four songs you worked on with Bob Rock, right? Am I believing the correct rumors?
We did a song called Canceled. We were in the studio. We had been playing Blitzkrieg Bop in our show. And we have kind of a medley of some old Motley songs and cover songs. And we added Blitzkrieg Bop in there. And when we were in doing the demos, we said, well, let's just demo up Blitzkrieg Bop. And then Dogs of War, obviously. We got in the studio. Blitzkrieg Bop was like, didn't sound like Anarchy in the UK or Helter Skelter when we had done those songs. It sounded like a really good band playing a really great song. It didn't sound like Motley Crue. And the weirdest, it was just like weird thing. I was sitting in the back of the studio and my phone went ding, ding. And I looked at it and it was a notification to listen to Beastie Boys' Fight for Your Right. And I pushed it and Bob Rock turned around, looked at me and Tommy and John and went, go in the studio. And we went in, and instead of Blitzkrieg Bop, we started playing it. But the way Tommy was playing it was almost punk rock speed because we were in the punk rock mode with Blitzkrieg Bop. And it was like pretty much live off the floor. And Bob then said, I want each one of you guys to go in and do a lead vocal. We're like, we're not singing a lead vocal because I want Vince to sing with you. So it feels like Motley Crue. It feels like a gang. And we cut that song and canceled and Dogs of War, and we're still writing, but we're like really not like in a hurry for anything. Like I have a feeling about records right now. And remember, I grew up with records and still love my full length albums. But when I hear an artist puts out a record, and the fans only hear two songs, feels like band, like the fans like getting a little bit shortchanged, and so is the artist. So what if we release two or three songs like as they come, and instead of being your singles and your B tracks, What if they're all A tracks? Because you're going to weed out all the, not filler, but you know, 13 songs, a lot of song. They're not all going to be Kickstart My Heart. Some are going to be Rattlesnake Shake and great songs like that off of Dr. Feelgood, but they're not going to be Dr. Feelgood. So this, we feel, is our way of keeping the standard higher.
Well, you're going to be having a lot of opportunities to debut this new music live because you're hitting all the big festivals this summer.
Yeah.
You're going to be in the Northeast at the Mohegan Sun Arena at the end of August. So we'll see you there.
Yeah.
And rumor has it there are big plans for 2025. Now, everybody knows I keep a secret great. So just tell me what you got planned for next year, and I promise I won't tell anyone.
You really want to know the real truth?
Yeah. You don't know yet, right?
Well, we're a Motley Crue. First of all, we lie. But so I'm going to go ahead and lie to you right now. Yes, there's a lot that we're planning for 2025. We're really excited about. We're working on a book with Ross Halfin right now. He's been there, the photographer, 40 years of Motley Crue and photography. And it's a coffee table book. Wonderful. We've got some creative things we're doing around merchandise that are not just, you know, a black t-shirt, like some really interesting stuff. We've been doing lots of licensing and stuff. But what you should really keep your ear to the ground for is October in California. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Good luck.
I will
Good
take
luck.
It. If it's going to be on the 1st, it will be for my birthday and I better get an invite.
You're pushing me into a corner. I'm not going to answer that. But happy birthday.
Nikki, congratulations on the new song, Dogs of War. It's out now. The CGI video is out.
Yeah.
It's a big, exciting time for Motley Crue.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your support. And nice to see that shirt.
Come on,
that's
man.
That's a good one. I love that shirt.
It's in really good shape, and I'm impressed that it still fits. The boobs are a little bigger than they were back then.
Well, they're a little bigger. You know who I saw had that shirt on was Megan Fox recently wearing that shirt.
Well,
so, I don't know what that means.
I'll be that number. I'll be the second hottest girl wearing this shirt behind Megan Fox.
I don't know. I think you're the first hottest girl. Oh, so thank you,
Nikki. There he is, Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue. The new song, Dogs of War, featuring guitarist John Five, is out today. You can hear it by checking the show notes of this bonus episode and listening to the corresponding playlist. I make a playlist for every episode of the Mistress Carrie podcast that features all of my guest music and all the songs and artists that we talked about in the interview. You'll also find the link to the video for Dogs of War and the link to get tickets to see Motley Crue at the Mohegan Sun Arena on August 31st. You'll also find all the Mistress Carrie links, the Nikki Sixx links, and of course, the Motley Crue links. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to the Mistress Carrie podcast. New full-length episodes come out every Wednesday. Plus, every weekday, you get the Sit Rep. The Situation Report breaks down all of your rock news, music headlines, and entertainment updates in about 5 minutes. And you never know when we're going to release a bonus episode. You can join me live every Tuesday night at 8:30 Eastern for my weekly streaming video show on my official Facebook page, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitch called Cocktails in the War Room. And of course, you can always find me on the radio. Get the details to all of that and more at MistressCarrie.com. Check out this week's full-length episode of the podcast, number 203, featuring Lee Cacati from Pop Evil. The Mistress Carrie podcast, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.